Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Emma Holmes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens.
Let's pride. Chiefs Nation, let's pride.
No, no, come on.
Okay.
Can we...
You're the one that made me change my profile picture to you and I having a splendid time at training camp.
That's right.
And now you hate my rendition of Let's Ride.
What'd you think of the training camp mustache?
I wish it would have stayed. And then you, like a coward, ran away from it.
It was time.
You got a lot of Jim Irsay vibes.
Once the regular season hits, you got to say goodbye to the mustache at that point.
But the regular season was still like 3 weeks away. You still had like the whole like Pete's getaway week where you get to just kind of do your own thing. And then you came back and you're like, well, I went and got my hair cut, and this barber that I have, she said it's not a good look, so I took her word for it and she shaved it off. You couldn't even shave your own damn mustache off. Pathetic.
I don't know if I sound like that. A lot of barber talk on 610 Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to like the video that Carrington's going to send him.
Oh, you're talking about Sean Barber now?
Yeah. Barber shop.
Every week, I do come in, and I look at this board of Sean Barber picks, and every week they're...
atrocious.
Losses.
You know who doesn't have bad picks? You and I.
That's right.
But that's not here nor there. This is Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson, later on Ron Kopp Jr., lead analyst of Arrowhead Pride, will join us like he always does at 6:15. Pete, how's the week been for you? The game, I'm gonna ask you something after I get your introduction because I was in Monday morning for Fesco and there was a little bit of mixed emotions, but how are you? How's the week going? How's everything been?
The week is good. This was a bit of a weird game, I thought, on Sunday against the Titans. And you look at the run game for the Chiefs and obviously that feels like it's a little bit in shambles, but then you pull up the stat sheet, and they still gained 499 yards. And Patrick Mahomes threw it 68 times and somehow still had the most rushing yards he's ever had. So, I don't know. Just a weird circumstance, a weird game on Sunday, and I think the Chiefs will be looking to put it a little bit more all together, I think, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that'll be the focus coming this week.
So, I guess I kind of have two questions following that Sunday game before we move on to the injury report. Then we get into basically the new week. One is, do you think Mahomes knows, like, you cover this guy enough, like, I've only been around a couple times, do you think he knows at moment in those games that he's the best player on the football field? And then the other part of it was, it seemed like a very sad win for the fan base. A lot of people are like, well, we just didn't do well against that quarterback who was clearly obviously not very talented, not a good quarterback, which that's his second start, but there was a lot of somber feelings. And then going back to the first question of, do you think Mahomes in those situations, just like, yeah, nobody's touching me.
Well, they lost this type of game against the Colts, and they almost blew it against the Titans. I think this was a different type of game and a different type of showcase for Patrick in the sense that I think when he's really on and is proving that he's the best player in the league, which I think we all believe, a lot of it is like a full 60 minutes. You get a full 60 minutes of the Patrick Mahomes experience where he's dominating a game. He's hitting all these different receivers. Typically, Travis Kelce leads the way. Turn around. He's got three or four touchdowns. This was if I don't take this game by the horns and have these long scrambles starting in the midfield on third and long and then the scramble for 14 yards for a touchdown, eventually the scramble to get the two-point conversion. I think he said to himself, I need to take over this game because my offense isn't with me in a sense today, especially in the run game. And it just reminded me of an NBA game. It's rare that you see a one-player effort like we saw from Patrick Mahomes win the game. And look, I understand there were nice catches by Juju. I'm not overlooking the Noah Gray catch because that was huge. But I think in the game's biggest moments, he just said, look, we are not going to lose today. And I think I'll remember this game in particular for that. In the course of his career, it's going to be a game you end up forgetting about because there's just been other big moments. But it was unique in that sense. And I think, when you think back to this, it just was like an NBA-style takeover that I don't know if anyone else other than off the top of my head, like a Lamar Jackson could pull off, in my opinion.
Hey, Grant, let's get to the injury report.
Little delay there.
Yeah, it's all right. We just wrapped up in the parlay tonight. Right. All right, so you're there. Practice is officially today. Some notable guys not on the practice fields there, didn't practice. Who were they?
Yeah, so Colin Saunders, who's really come into it, he was absent from the field, but the status came out as not injury-related, so excused absence. We're not really sure. We'll expect him back probably tomorrow or the next day. I don't think you have to worry about Colin Saunders. And then Mecole Hardman. This is a little bit of a weird deal. Andy Reid came up and said, Mecole Hardman's been having some issues with his abdomen for the past couple days here.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chiefs held him back. Right now, if there's ever a position where, not that you want an injury, but you can afford an injury, it's in your 7 wide receiver room.
Yeah.
That if someone's out for the week, you have 6 other receivers that can go. It's interesting because, and I saw people talking about this on Twitter right away when Mecole was kind of mysteriously absent today, is that Wally Pipp factor.
Mm-hmm.
Kadarius Toney's in the building. This was my question to Reid today about how many snaps he's going to get. We saw him for 9 snaps and basically was just confirming that it's fair to say he's going to get more and more. So what is that for next game? Maybe between 15 and 20 as he continues to learn the offense. And all of a sudden, if Mecole can't play and Kadarius looks good, you never know what can happen in these situations. So I think for McColl's case, the sooner that he can get back in the mix, the better. Just a little bit of a weird deal with this abdomen because we didn't really hear anything necessarily about it after the game. So.
Other side, Jacksonville, anything of concern? Anybody that pops up that they should be worried about? I know this team is still very young and very inexperienced.
Rayshon Jenkins, who takes a lot of snaps at safety for them, he's in the concussion protocol. He actually suffered the concussion as he was trying to tackle running back Josh Jacobs, who the Chiefs are pretty familiar with from this year.
Mm-hmm.
Played him, a couple of years now going.
He had quite a bit of yards against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. He did a nice job. And then Evan Engram was limited, but from watching some of his clips in Jacksonville today, I don't think he's in line to miss the game. We'll see if Jenkins can get out of the concussion protocol. But all in all, not really a lot of significant injuries impacting this game as we took in the first practice today, and we'll continue to do so Thursday and Friday. We'll have your injury updates for the rest of the week and the final injury designations on Friday at arrowheadpride.com.
All right, so let's kind of go back to that Mecole Hardman situation, because that's kind of an interesting one, because Mecole Hardman, and I don't know if he's always hurt, mm-hmm. but he seems to be somebody who will more than likely play through stuff. And an abdomen injury is kind of a red flag to me, because I don't know how he would have hurt that other than like maybe stretching, maybe something weird happened, because it didn't seem like he got hurt in the last game. And it also kind of feels, you mentioned Wally Pitt.
Maybe some dancing in celebration after the game.
Cutting some rug, man. You never know. But the thing that's crazy is you mentioned Wally Pitt, because we talked all last week. How many games or how many snaps is Kadarius Toney going to play? First play of the game, right to him. If Mecole doesn't play and is ruled out, now it's Wednesday, we have a lot. We have 2 more full days of practice. Does Toney get that role, or does Sky Moore get those snaps?
Well, and I think this is really interesting because now that Jody Fortson's back in the mix, we should mention that Jody Fortson returned to practice, so he should be fine. And so since now he's back in the mix, you're not going to end up keeping 7 receivers, I think, on the roster for the whole year.
Right.
But I think maybe they do it this week if Mecole can't go, and then you kick that problem to the next week. And that's a good problem, right? Because you have a lot of talented receivers. But the deal is you're not going to have 7 receivers on the team, and you wonder if it's Moore. You wonder if it's Watson. You can't really risk a lot of these players, getting sent down to the practice squad. So I'm very intrigued as to what they end up doing here. I'm not really sure which direction you go in, because obviously if you're trading for Toney, he's going to be on the roster. So one of these guys who have been contributing for the entire year, you wonder what happens to their role as we go.
It's Pete Sweeney, chief editor of Arrowhead Pride, Dusty Likens with you as well. When we come back, we get your lead analyst, Ron Kopp Jr. He'll join us here on Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. We'll be right back with Ron Kopp Jr.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson with you. Newly followed by Arrowhead Pride. I'm very honored. Even though Ron Kopp, their lead analyst, had been following for a while. Anyways, we're not going to get into that. but we will get into Ron, if you want to hit it on your phone. Mine is broken.
We go through this every week.
I don't know why you're not used to it.
Welcome to the show, Ron.
Yeah.
I know. I'm getting used to the Pete intro, the Pete bringing me in. So, yeah, no, appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, any time. It's always been my idea to have you on. Pete just okayed it. But, yeah, so.
I'm sure Boss had a little influence in that, but, I mean, maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving him
Thank God. Thank God Ron understands how this operates.
No, I know Pete's got my back. Boss man's got my back. That's I know that.
Yeah, even though he looks like Mike McDaniels. But, Ron, so.
Pins up.
Yep, that's right. This weekend is a game in which it's versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne. Other than that, Christian Kirk, I guess you could say, is also a possible factor. But there will be people that say that this is a quote-unquote trap game. What say you, Ron Kopp, when it comes to the definition of a trap game?
Well, the definition of trap game is usually looking ahead, right? You're looking ahead to a bigger game on the schedule. And the Chargers, yes, they are an AFC West team, and it's a Sunday night game now, so that is a big game. But the Jaguars, I think, is absolutely a big game. The record may not show it, but I think the Doug Peterson factor makes this a big game for a lot of people in Kansas City. I know it's not a lot of players that were here, you know, when Doug Peterson was still the offensive coordinator. It's been a while now. Like Mahomes, you know, I was actually kind of surprised me that, Mahomes doesn't know Doug Peterson as a coach, it has been that long, but you know, a guy like Andy Reid, just the coaching staff themselves, you know, I think they know it's a big game. So I don't think it's a trap game. I also think the Jaguars are just better than a team you'd consider for a trap game. Like the Colts game earlier this year, like that's absolutely a trap game. Cause we're now seeing that the Colts are pretty terribly run, franchise and a bad team. I think the Jaguars are a much better team than their record. They should have a better record. They're one of the better teams in the AFC that doesn't have a winning record. So I think I don't think this is a trap game. I think Andy Reid's going to get the team ready because it's Doug Peterson and Bob Sutton on the other side, as you mentioned today. I mean, there's some familiar faces on the other side.
Oh man, all of Kansas City just shuddered hearing those fateful words, Bob and Sutton. Okay, Ron, talking with Ron Kopp, our lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Arrowhead Pride Radio. You dropped your film review for this morning, Ron, and it involved you watching all 68 of Patrick Mahomes' passes, all six of his runs for 63 yards. What'd you take away from now the MVP leader in this game against the Titans?
Well, that was my main takeaway, is that he earned that right. He earned those odds to go up, to get better for him. You know, Nate Christensen, a writer of ours, did a really good job breaking down how Tennessee defended Patrick Mahomes and I was very impressed. One of the things I came away with from the game, how impressed the Titans defense played. I mean, just suffocating pass patterns, making it so hard on Mahomes to understand what's happening. Cause you know, they're just doing a lot of mixing coverages, you know, moving safeties after the snap, you know, looking like they're in one coverage, being in the next, but also just being physical, challenging the receivers, double teaming Kelsey, you know, at points and just being physical with him. So they did a very good job at that. And that's where it's just insane that Patrick Mahomes ends up with over 500 total yards as an individual player and leads to a win still. And that's where it's just, this is what an MVP does. This is an MVP performance. You're used to them being the 40-point games and the big blowouts. But what Mahomes did, not having any sort of run game, Tennessee completely erased it. I already mentioned the physical coverage. He had to just be patient, you know, take those sacks sometimes, take the stalled drives, knowing that, look, you know, I can't force a bad play. I can't give to it. And on these 78 dropbacks, I can't give into it and give them a chance at an interception or a bad play. He just continued to be patient, continued to take what they give him, and he continued chipping away until it turned into a game-winning touchdown at the end. And then, obviously, he just over his dead body in overtime. You know, those two plays, first of all, you know, the Noah Gray play is a great play, but the catch Kelsey had, a great catch, by the way, but Mahomes' ability to shrug off pressure, step up in the pocket, and sling that thing on third down. I mean, it wasn't over my dead body performance at the end of the game, but the most impressive thing to me overall was just how patient he was, just not letting Tennessee, not giving into what Tennessee wanted him to do, was just baiting him into forcing something, right? He never did. He stayed patient. And it ended up with a win, and that's why he's the MVP right now.
Talking with lead analyst Ron Kopp of Arrowhead Pride. Ron, we got through the good news, which was clearly the performance of Patrick Mahomes. Let's go to some bad news, which is this Chiefs running game right now, which feels non-existent. Let's put your doctor's hat on right now, Dr. Kopp Jr. Diagnose what's going on with this Chiefs run game.
Yeah, this team is just such a spread offense, and the run game is going to have to follow the fact that that's the case. And so we're going to see, you know, we call for more under center runs and all that, but you know, this team has to run out of shotgun. This team has to, you know, get the most yardage out of those plays, you know, not make them 2 yards. They got to be 5-6 yards on these zone plays, their staple plays. And that's where it just more and more, you know, feels like the running back group just really needs to step up. And that's why I think you're seeing such a rotation of backs. We've seen this team lean on one guy plenty of times in the past, and I know it's early in the season, so we could evolve to that. But I just feel like they're not getting one of these running backs to really truly take the reins and own that position, and that's why you're seeing such a rotation, and it's because none of them are establishing themselves. And so, yeah, you know, I think, you know, could there be better run calls at times? Could the offensive line themselves play better? Because that's one thing. I do think Trey Smith particularly had a pretty poor performance.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when your best run blocker has a bad game, it's not going to lead to a good run performance. But to me, I really do feel like it all comes down to the running backs performing. I think if we get good play from the running backs, I think you'll see this run game take off a little more, because I think there are times where they're just not maximizing what the offensive line is giving them.
Ron, you're a busy guy, but I have one more question for you. We mentioned it last segment with the injury report. If Mecole Hardman can't go, and I know we're being probably a little premature on this with the abdomen issue, but if he can't go, who do you like more in that situational play calling with, like, the jet sweeps and the bubble screens when it comes to Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney?
So I do think specifically on jet sweeps, I do think Sky Moore would be the guy. But on pretty much anything else they get Mecole Hardman to do, I think – And it just depends on how comfortable they are with him in the playbook and stuff. But they got him involved right away last week. The one, you know, big catch he had, Kadarius Toney, I'm talking about, the one big catch he did have, he, you know, was a really nice option route, and he really, you know, ran the route well. Mahomes had a good rhythm and timing with it. I don't see why it can't be Toney. I just feel like they like what they have in him right now, and they really want to use him. I think you can tell. And I just feel like if they thought Sky could step up and be that, part of me just thinks they wouldn't have ever made that move, and they would have just said, hey, look, we got this rookie, and we can develop him on the fly and put him in these situations. And so that's why Tony's here, maybe. So I think they give Toney a chance. I think that's why they got him the ball early in the game last week.
It's time to make your boss proud. Let people know what we can do the rest of the week to look at Arrowhead Pride, especially your work and what's coming up next few days for the Chiefs versus the Jags.
Yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, I think it is a big game, so I'll have opponent scout out. I'll be digging into that. That should come out tomorrow. And then look up for 5 things to watch as well. I preview the game every week, looking at 5 particular things about the game. And then just check out our live coverage on Sunday. We'll be breaking it all down as it happens.
It's Ron Kopp of Arrowhead Pride. Ron, have a good rest of your week. And, you know, just keep making your boss proud, because every time you come on here, he smiles, looks at me, and says, this is the kind of guy I like to work with.
Oh, wow. Look at that, boss, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity, the platform. So have a good night, fellas.
Hey, you too, man. Take care. Ron Kopp Jr., lead analyst of Arrowhead Pride.
Wait, you're buttering him up?
He's a good dude.
Okay.
There's not enough things in this world today that we aren't getting enough gratitude for. There's so much anger and animosity. Let people be known that they do a good job.
This is Thanksgiving month.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's time to give thanks.
You got to really, really focus in on what you're thankful for.
Yes, yeah, November, No Shave November.
You told me before we got on the air, you said it's no post November.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no post November. No stories, no nothing.
Hmm.
Let them be envious.
I wonder if all your followers are like, what is Dusty 17? Doing? What's, yeah. What is he doing right now?
The 17 people that follow me.
There's no story. There's.
They know what I'm
is
doing.
Is he okay?
No, I'm definitely fine. Right. That's Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson with you as well. We come back. It's Jacksonville. We got to move on. Tennessee's over. And also, number 4 and sexiest coaches in the NFL. It seems fishy. We do all that next on Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Rock and roll Pete. You know, Bruce Springsteen has a great song called Outlaw Pete. Fantastic. Came out on one of his newest albums in the last 10 years.
Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not a very upbeat song. I know the music is, but it's actually a very depressing song. It's about a man who's lonely.
Hmm.
Neither one of us do that.
No, because we got each other here. Mm-hmm. Arrowhead Pride Radio.
That's called chemistry.
Yep.
You just set them up, and I'll knock them out, or I'll set them up, and you knock them out.
Just realized you're wearing an Orange Cassidy shirt right now.
That's right. Freshly squeezed. If there's anybody that I could be, it'd be Orange Cassidy.
That's your choice, huh?
Yeah.
In the whole world, or just...
In that federation.
I see.
Yeah. AEW, for those of you that don't understand the reference.
Yeah, you're looking at PJF, if I had to...
I could see you trying to take that persona.
Yeah. It'd be great.
I'm better than you, and you know it. Oh, man. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson with you. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio on a Wednesday night. All right. So Ron, we just had on the show, Ron Kopp Jr., not Ron the show, but also a member of Arrowhead Pride. Ron Kopp Jr., we asked, is this a trap game type of theory with the Jacksonville Jaguars? His response was this.
The definition of trap game is usually looking ahead, right? You're looking ahead to a bigger game on the schedule. And, you know, the Chargers, yes, they are an AFC West team, and it's a Sunday night game now. So that is a big game. But the Jaguars, I think, is absolutely a big game. The record may not show it, but I think the Doug Peterson factor makes this a big game for a lot of people in Kansas City. I know it's not a lot of players that were here, you know, when Doug Peterson was still the offensive coordinator. It's been a while now. Like Mahomes, you know, I was actually kind of surprised me that, Mahomes doesn't know Doug Peterson as a coach. You know, it has been that long. But, you know, a guy like Andy Reid, just the coaching staff themselves, you know, I think they know it's a big game. So I don't think it's a trap game. I also think the Jaguars are just better than a team you consider for a trap game. Like the Colts game earlier this year, like that's absolutely a trap game because we're now seeing that the Colts are a pretty terribly run, franchise and a bad team. I think the Jaguars are a much better team than their record. They should have a better record. They're one of the better teams in the AFC that doesn't have a winning record. So I think I don't think this is a trap game. I think Andy Reid's going to get the team ready because it's Doug Peterson and Bob Sutton on the other side, as you mentioned today. I mean, there's some familiar faces on the other side.
Bob Sutton and Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
So you know that Jacksonville's not going to adjust in the second half at all, actually. They're not going to adjust at all. What say you, Pete? Like, this is something you take prideful in, is watching this team in every single week and how they perform. Is this one of those games where you can use that theory, or do they not have enough star power to force it into that?
Yeah, the Chiefs are in a weird place in the trajectory of the franchise now, because we are entering, Dusty, the ninth game of the year without looking. Do you know how many noon games they've had?
One.
One other noon game. So I think it's less a trap game and more, it's a little different than they're used to. They're actually used to being one of the highlighted games of the week, be it primetime or being in that late slate, and they're finally back at that noon slate. This is actually the first noon game they'll have, if you consider that Indianapolis is in the East Coast. That was technically like a 1 o'clock game. So you're in the early slate. You're clearly better than this team. It's a 9.5-point spread, and it's going to be a different feel. And I know, you know, talking to a lot of fans, like, they're excited for a noon game at Arrowhead. It used to be the other way. It's like, when are they going to put Alex Smith on primetime? Mm-hmm. Will they ever do it? No, will they ever do it? And now it's just so much late game and primetime window that you don't really get a lot of games like this. But I think Ron's right. I think there's a little bit of the coaching energy, and I think there's a little bit of the Chiefs challenging themselves, where they didn't look great last week. I understand that they put 499 yards up, but it wasn't the type of game where you're clearly better than the other team. It's Patrick Mahomes versus a rookie in his second start. You should be dominating. And so before you get to the Chargers, in a way, I think more than a trap game for me, this is a, look, we're better than this team. let's get right before this game that matters a lot more. Yes, I think the division is over, but if there's going to be any team in it that challenges the Chiefs, if they can get something going, it's the LA Chargers, so that game is huge.
Yeah. The other thing that's interesting about this will probably be the coldest game of the year in the NFL, right? Like, it's going to be 39, 40 degrees on Sunday, and it's been pretty solid weather around the entire league. Now, I don't know if it's been below 40 on the East Coast yet or in the Upper East Coast in Buffalo or in.
You got to layer up for this one.
This is going to be a cold one. And Jacksonville, a warm climate team, like that kind of maybe debunks the whole here we are at noon. But this, it's going to be cold.
I know you're going to be cooking something up on that grill.
Chilly.
And because it's no post November, you're going to have to text me because I'm going to be wondering what's on there. No, it'll be chilly. The Chiefs actually play pretty well when it's cold weather at their stadium, which is, you know, I think a thing that is really magnified when Derek Carr comes to Kansas City. Like, he doesn't really like playing in the cold, whereas I think the Chiefs sort of use that to their advantage. And so, look, if it's going to be colder than usual, how about a team from Florida?
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Coming in. So that's, to me, a natural advantage. And, I mean, they're just a better team. Now, I don't think the Chiefs should overlook the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you really go back to what Patrick Mahomes said today, he was highlighting the fact that, like, if you really watch the tape, and a few of these guys said it in the locker room and talking to them today, despite their record, they're a pretty good team. And they're led by Josh Allen, not the quarterback, of course. We're talking about the linebacker, the edge rusher. They have another player who is a really good stopper in Devin Lloyd. Their run defense is good, so we're talking about how the run defense needs to improve. It's another tough front when it comes to that. And then you go on the other side of the ball, ETN is coming into his own. I think Trevor Lawrence, slowly but surely, too slow really to be as high pick as he was, slowly but surely is getting better. Christian Kirk is having a breakout year in a sense. They have some pieces where they can make this game interesting. It's just you look at the record and that disparity, and you're like, okay, the Chiefs should have this game. And you know what? You weren't able to show that you were the dominant, better team last week. Do it this week and, you know, prove that to everyone that you can be this team. And that's a noon game. So you're out by 3 o'clock, and then all of a sudden, what? You're 7-2. So that's what everybody wants.
So I don't know if this is or how serious this is, but it seems egregious.
What?
Andy Reid being the fourth most attractive head coach.
Do you think it's too high or too low?
No, I just want to tell you a couple names that I think might be a little bit off put by this.
Oh.
Andy Reid is at 4.
Okay.
Kyle Shanahan is at 8. Okay.
Well, I mean, he has his hat really far down, so sometimes
he does dress like he's a 17-year-old skater, or is afraid of showing that he's balding.
I mean, he might be a good-looking guy. What I'm saying is, he covers half his head with that hat.
Do you think that Sean McVay deserves to be at 12th,
below Andy Reid by 8?
Yeah.
Well, he did have that moment during Hard Knocks where he was playing basketball with the dog in the pool and everything, and I think theory would have told you that should have propelled him maybe a little bit higher than he is.
This tells me one of two things.
Yeah.
Either humor is very key to a head coach.
Right.
Or somebody's trying to make the prom king the nerd.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you read the top 10 really quickly?
Okay. Cliff Kingsbury.
Is that 10?
Top 10. Okay, top 10. You want top 10. Nathaniel Hackett. Sean McDermott is number 10.
You're having a lot of trouble with this.
Well, that's on the spreadsheet you gave me. It's very confusing.
Okay.
You have like one over here and then one over here. So Sean McDermott, number 10.
Okay.
Number 9 is Nathaniel Hackett. Number 8 is Dennis Allen, head coach of the New Orleans Saints, for those of you that don't remember. Kyle Shanahan, number 7. Arthur Smith of the Falcons is 6th. Frank Reich is 5. Well, what a rough week for Frank. Well, like, you get fired, your boss / girlfriend is cheating behind your back and texting people, yet telling you it's fine and that you're not going anywhere. And then they break up with you, then to find out that you're considered less attractive than Andy Reid. Andy Reid, number 4, Lovie Smith. It must be the beard.
You do wonder where Jeff Saturday would have landed on this list.
Irsay would have had him at 1, and then the list would have stopped.
Yes.
Brian Daboll, number 2. Very interesting. Women go crazy about a bald-head man, I guess. And then Cliff Kingsbury, number 1.
I did notice that in that top 10, there's quite a few bald men.
Mm-hmm. Andy Reid.
Bald is beautiful.
Yep. Andy Reid, Lovie Smith, Brian Daboll. But I mean, like, Very interesting. Maybe it was the State Farm commercial that got Andy Reid over the hump.
Well, I think the thing that, you know, you're talking about Andy Reid's physical appearance, the thing that sticks out is the stash.
Yeah.
And I think he's just been solid and consistent with that stash over time. He's watched it go from stylish to out of style. Now it's back in style.
Does any coach in the NFL other than Andy Reid have a mustache?
Unwavering mustache. Thomas Sula.
Okay.
He's not a coach anymore, but...
Yeah, exactly. There's Lovie Smith has the beard. Frank Reich is out. Dennis Allen. Rock and Roll Pete. You know, Bruce Springsteen has a great song called Outlaw Pete. Fantastic. Came out on one of his newest albums in the last 10 years.
Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not a very upbeat song. I know the music is, but it's actually a very depressing song. It's about a man who's lonely. Hmm. Neither one of us do that.
No, because we got each other here. Mm-hmm. That's right. Arrowhead Pride Radio.
That's called chemistry.
Yep.
You just set them up, and I'll knock them out, or I'll set them up, and you knock them out.
Just realized you're wearing an Orange Cassidy shirt right now.
That's right. Freshly squeezed. If there's anybody that I could be, it'd be Orange Cassidy.
That's your choice, huh?
Yeah.
In the whole world, or just...
In that federation.
I see.
Yeah. AEW, for those of you that don't understand the reference.
Yeah, you're looking at PJF if I had to.
I could see you trying to take that persona.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I'm better than you, and you know it. Oh, man. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson with you. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio on a Wednesday night. All right. So Ron, we just had on the show, Ron Kopp Jr., not Ron the show, but also a member of Arrowhead Pride. Ron Kopp Jr., we asked, is this a trap game type of theory with the Jacksonville Jaguars? His response was this.
The definition of trap game is usually looking ahead, right? You're looking ahead to a bigger game on the schedule. And, the Chargers, yes, they are an AFC West team, and it's a Sunday night game now. So that is a big game. But the Jaguars, I think, is absolutely a big game. The record may not show it, but I think the Doug Peterson factor makes this a big game for a lot of people in Kansas City. I know it's not a lot of players that were here, you know, when Doug Peterson was still the offensive coordinator. It's been a while now. Like Mahomes, you know, I was actually kind of surprised me that, yeah, oh, yeah, Mahomes doesn't know Doug Peterson as a coach. You know, it has been that long. But, you know, a guy like Andy Reid, just the coaching staff themselves, you know, I think they know it's a big game. So I don't think it's a trap game. I also think the Jaguars are just better than a team you consider for a trap game. Like the Colts game earlier this year. Like that's absolutely a trap game because we're now seeing that the Colts are a pretty terribly run franchise and a bad team. I think the Jaguars are a much better team than their record. They should have a better record. They're one of the better teams in the AFC that doesn't have a winning record. So I think I don't think this is a trap game. I think Andy Reid's going to get the team ready because it's Doug Peterson and Bob Sutton on the other side, as you mentioned today. I mean, there's some familiar faces on the other side.
Bob Sutton and Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
So you know that Jacksonville's not going to adjust in the second half at all, actually. They're not going to adjust at all. What say you, Pete? Like, this is something you take prideful in, is watching this team and every single week and how they perform. Is this one of those games where you can use that theory, or do they not have enough star power to force it into that?
Yeah, the Chiefs are in a weird place in the trajectory of the franchise now, because we are entering, Dusty, the ninth game of the year without looking. Do you know how many noon games they've had?
One.
One other noon game. So I think it's less a trap game and more, it's a little different than they're used to. They're actually used to being one of the highlighted games of the week, be it primetime or being in that late slate, and they're finally back at that noon slate. This is actually the first noon game they'll have, if you consider that Indianapolis is in the East Coast. That was technically like a 1 o'clock game. So you're in the early slate. You're clearly better than this team. It's a 9.5-point spread, and it's going to be a different feel. And I know, talking to a lot of fans, like, they're excited for a noon game at Arrowhead. It used to be the other way. It's like, when are they going to put Alex Smith on primetime? Mm-hmm. Will they ever do it? No, will they ever do it? And now it's just so much late game and primetime window that you don't really get a lot of games like this. But I think Ron's right. I think there's a little bit of the coaching energy. And I think there's a little bit of the Chiefs challenging themselves, where they didn't look great last week. I understand that they put 499 yards up, but it wasn't the type of game where you're clearly better than the other team. It's Patrick Mahomes versus a rookie in his second start. You should be dominating. And so before you get to the Chargers, in a way, I think more than a trap game for me, this is a, look, we're better than this team. Let's get right before this game that matters a lot more. Yes, I think the division is over, but if there's going to be any team in it that challenges the Chiefs, if they can get something going, it's the LA Chargers, so that game is huge.
Yeah. The other thing that's interesting about this will probably be the coldest game of the year in the NFL, right? Like, it's going to be 39, 40 degrees on Sunday, and it's been pretty solid weather around the entire league. Now, I don't know if it's been below 40 on the East Coast yet or in the Upper East Coast in Buffalo or in
You got to layer up for this one.
This is going to be a cold one. And Jacksonville, a warm climate team, like that kind of maybe debunks the whole here we are at noon. But this, it's going to be cold.
I know you're going to be cooking something up on that grill. Chilly. And because it's no post-November, you're going to have to text me because I'm going to be wondering what's on there. No, it'll be chilly. The Chiefs actually play pretty well when it's cold weather at their stadium, which is, you know, I think a thing that is really magnified when Derek Carr comes to Kansas City. Like, he doesn't really like playing in the cold, whereas I think the Chiefs sort of use that to their advantage. And so, look, if it's going to be colder than usual, how about a team from Florida?
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Coming in. So that's, to me, a natural advantage. And, I mean, they're just a better team. Now, I don't think the Chiefs should overlook the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you really go back to what Patrick Mahomes said today, he was highlighting the fact that, like, if you really watch the tape, and a few of these guys said it in the locker room and talking to them today, despite their record, they're a pretty good team. And they're led by Josh Allen, not the quarterback, of course. We're talking about the linebacker, the edge rusher. They have another player who is a really good stopper in Devin Lloyd. Their run defense is good, so we're talking about how the run defense needs to improve. It's another tough front when it comes to that. And then you go on the other side of the ball, ETN is coming into his own. I think Trevor Lawrence, slowly but surely, too slow really to be as high pick as he was, slowly but surely is getting better. Christian Kirk is having a breakout year in a sense. They have some pieces where they can make this game interesting. It's just you look at the record and that disparity and you're like, okay, the Chiefs should have this game. And you know what? You weren't able to show that you were the dominant, better team last week. Do it this week and, you know, prove that to everyone that you can be this team. And that's a noon game. So you're out by 3 o'clock and then all of a sudden what? You're 7-2. So that's what everybody wants.
So I don't know if this is or how serious this is, but it seems egregious.
What?
Andy Reid being the fourth most attractive head coach.
Do you think it's too high or too low?
No, I just want to tell you a couple names that I think might be a little bit off-put by this.
Oh.
Andy Reid is at 4.
Okay.
Kyle Shanahan is at 8.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he has his hat really far down, so sometimes it's...
He does dress like he's a 17-year-old skater. Or is afraid of showing that he's balding.
I mean, he might be a good-looking guy. What I'm saying is he covers half his head with that hat.
Do you think that Sean McVay deserves to be at 12th?
Below Andy Reid by 8?
Yeah.
Well, he did have that moment during Hard Knocks where he was playing basketball with the dog in the pool and everything. And I think theory would have told you that should have propelled him maybe a little bit higher than he is.
This tells me one of two things.
Yeah.
Either humor is very key to a head coach.
Right.
Or somebody's trying to make the prom king the nerd.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you read the top 10 really quickly?
Okay. Cliff Kingsbury.
Is that 10?
Top 10. Okay, top 10. You want top 10. Nathaniel Hackett. Sean McDermott is number 10.
You're having a lot of trouble with this.
Well, that's on the spreadsheet you gave me. It's very confusing.
Okay.
You have the one over here and then one over here. So, Sean McDermott, number 10.
Okay.
Number 9 is Nathaniel Hackett. Number 8 is Dennis Allen, head coach of the New Orleans Saints, for those of you that don't remember. Kyle Shanahan, number 7. Arthur Smith of the Falcons is 6th. Frank Reich is 5. Well, what a rough week for Frank. Well, like, you get fired, your boss/girlfriend is cheating behind your back and texting people, yet telling you it's fine, and that you're not going anywhere, and then they break up with you, then to find out that you're considered less attractive than Andy Reid. Andy Reid, number 4, Lovie Smith. It must be the beard.
You do wonder where Jeff Saturday would have landed on this list.
Irsay would have had him at 1, and then the list would have stopped.
Yes.
Brian Daboll, number 2. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Women go crazy about a bald head man, I guess. And then Cliff Kingsbury, number one.
I did notice that in that top 10, there's quite a few bald men.
Mm-hmm. Andy Reid.
Bald is beautiful.
Yep. Andy Reid, Lovie Smith, Brian Daboll. But I mean, like, very interesting. Maybe it was the State Farm commercial that got Andy Reid over the hump.
Well, I think the thing that, you know, you're talking about Andy Reid's physical appearance, the thing that sticks out is the stash.
Yeah.
And I think he's just been solid and consistent with that stash over time. He's watched it go from stylish to out of style. Now it's back in style.
Does any coach in the NFL other than Andy Reid have a mustache?
Unwavering mustache. Thomas Sula?
Okay.
He's not a coach anymore, but...
Yeah, exactly. There's Lovie Smith has the beard. Frank Reich is out. Dennis Allen, he doesn't have a beard. Nathaniel Hackett, he has a beard, I think. McDermott, he's interesting. Also bald. Robert Saleh, very attractive. Very smooth, caramel skin.
Are you attracted to Robert?
Yeah, yes.
Yes, you are.
Yes. I would play for that guy.
Great defense.
I don't understand Elijah Moore's deal. Like if it was Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson, yes.
Yes.
Mike Tomlin, I think he has the Jimmy Buffett pencil thin mustache.
I think he's got a beard going on.
Right. Okay. Doug Peterson, nothing.
Right.
Kevin Stefanski, beard. Todd Bowles, no mustache. Mike McCarthy, can't grow facial hair. Mm. Nick Sirianni, nothing. Pete Carroll, chewing gum. John Harbaugh, bear.
Is chewing gum facial hair now?
It can be if it gets spit all around it and the way he chews it. I'm sure there's a ring of saliva
very
somewhere.
Very aggressive chewing.
Very. Like he's on Adderall.
I think he's trying to stay awake.
Dan Campbell, Bill Belichick, Steve Wilkes, Mike McDaniel.
Dan Campbell's got a little bit of a goat.
Does he? Zach Taylor, Ron Rivera, and Kevin O'Connell. Andy Reid's the only guy with just a plain stash.
And it
so he gets points.
It's
and he's funny.
It's a thick stash.
It
I mean,
looks
it's
like
not,
a witch's brew.
It's not a. It does. It is not a thin mustache. And you know what? It completes his face. And so maybe that's why he's top four.
Would there ever be a moment where you could probably make a bet with Andy Reid where he'd shave his mustache?
Me and him.
Yeah.
Highly doubtful.
That'd be awesome if that would be it. Like if you win a Super Bowl, you have to shave your. Like how long do you think he's had his mustache on that face?
I don't think that I could do it, but
since the Philly years?
Yes. I don't think I could do it, but I bet you there's a scenario in which Pat could walk in his office and say, Andy,
I'll cut my hair if we do this.
If I win the AP NFL MVP, which he's now the favorite to do,
yes,
you have to shave this thing for week one of next year's NFL season.
Yeah.
And everyone has to, you know, be weirded out by that. And then, you know, Andy could say, okay, listen, if you don't win the MVP, you have to
shave your head.
Yeah, shave the locks, the Mahomes locks. And look, that has become a hairstyle that you see kids in Kansas City, a lot of kids that they have it. So his hair is well known. I believe Derek Dieter had the haircut first, but Patrick Mahomes has made it famous.
You're just an ass for that.
Just saying. Ooh. But I think that would be possible for Patrick to pull off. I personally don't think that that's in the cards for me and Andy. At this stage.
That's an interesting bet. We should get that out on Twitter to see if they'd respond to something like that. I know Andy Reid doesn't, but that'd be funny if it could be insinuated. Arrowhead Pride Radio Show, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson produces this bad boy. We asked the question, what do you have questions for this week? At Arrowhead Pride on Twitter. We get to that next here on 610 Sports Radio. Very attractive. Very smooth, caramel skin.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
That is actually Pete Sweeney in his garage at 16 on the guitar. Your mic being on might help. Oh, no.
I don't know if anyone wanted it.
You played it cool, though.
I don't know if anyone wanted to hear that.
Well, it is the end of the show, which is where we give it to the people, right?
The witching hour.
Is it the witching hour? It is. The witching hour of Arrowhead Pride. So, Pete.
Yes.
Always at practice, always at the media days for everything Chiefs-related. From Patrick Mahomes Zone on Twitter. How significant do you think Mecole Hardman's injury is?
It's a good question. I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good question, Fesco. I think that because it's been going on for these past couple of days, I think it's something that's worth monitoring. I think now that the Chiefs have seven wide receivers on the active roster, if anyone is remotely injured, you can kind of be a little bit more cautious. And so, I don't know. I think if I had to guess right now, it kind of sounds like they may rest him this week, and we'll see what that means for everybody else. Now, I could be completely wrong about this, so keep up with our injury report updates at Arrowhead Pride, but I don't know. I just get the sense that something is a little fishy here with Andy Reid just coming out and saying, you know, he's not going to practice today. It's been ongoing for a couple weeks. We're trying to figure out what it is. So we'll see, but right now I would guess that he maybe has to sit for a game.
This is from Walmart Leo DiCaprio.
Ooh.
Take it for what it is. Why can't we get McKinnon out of those short yardage runs and just let Pacheco run them?
Right. I think that Isaiah Pacheco needs to, if you're going to lean into Pacheco, you got to give him a good amount of carries. And I just don't know how that could happen in a three-headed monster. I talked a little bit about this with C-Dot a little bit earlier, and I just think you need to pick one of these guys and McKinnon. I think there's enough carries and enough touches to go around, even in this offense, for two running backs. But when you're working in three, I don't know how any of these guys can get into a rhythm. I look at Pacheco's numbers, and if you really pull them up, you wonder out loud, like, what if we had him run the ball 15 times? Mm-hmm. What would that yardage look like? I tend to think it would be at least in the 70 to 100 range. Like, I think he would at least be in that 70-yard range, which is where you want to be for, I think, Patrick Mahomes and the passing offense to really get going. And so less about McKinnon or CEH or Pacheco, and I'm not even picking here. I think you got to either roll with Pacheco or roll with CEH as your early down back, and then, you know, have McKinnon be your spell guy who can pass protect.
So Pacheco on 44 attempts has 197 yards, 4.5 average, one touchdown, and he's averaging 24.6 yards a game.
That's what I mean.
And he's the only player that's fumbled on the Chiefs roster. Two times, nobody else has fumbled.
Sure,
once.
And that's fine. I mean, he's a rookie. We saw Kareem Hunt fumble.
Then we never saw it again.
Exactly. So that's going to happen. I mean, I don't think you need to be worried about that. But I just, like I said, I mean, what if you give him 15 carries in one game? What does that stat line look like? I don't think we really know that yet. And when you make that move, you do wonder it. One other thing I said about this, and then we can move on to the next question, is I just don't think he should be the kick returner. If he's going to start as the running back, and say he has a good kick return to start the game, then you're taking him out already. I think let him focus on being the team's number one back. Let him lock in. Let him get this patience right that, you know, the Chiefs have said a number of times. So, I don't know. I think I'd like to see Pacheco do it, but I'm more in the camp of pick one and let McKinnon be the second guy, and then the other guy's there for depth and injury.
Okay. This is from Tony Bolonovich. I feel like this guy is actually, you pronounce it Tony Bolonovich.
Oh, okay.
That's the name on Twitter. It says, has the play of the...
Is that Italian?
I could be. Mm. I'd just be like the weirdest looking Italian person ever. I have a red beard and like my skin's the color of like a Elmer's glue bottle.
You're not Italian?
No.
Okay.
Skults. So has the play of the interior line taken a step back this year, or does it just seem that way because the tackles have struggled so badly?
Yes.
From Bolonovich.
You know what? Yes. I think a little bit of both. We just heard Ron Kopp.
You okay there?
A little bit of both. We just heard Ron Kopp essentially say, you know, he's dived into the film and Trey Smith could have been better last game. Thought it was, you know, one of the weaker performances, which is unlike Trey Smith.
Yeah.
And I think the interior, which has been your strength, is being hampered by the fact that the tackles are just not as good as the interior. And, you know, the one thing that offensive linemen will always tell you is you're basically as good as your weakest link. So I don't think that is necessarily helping. But if you really watch from the end zone angle of these runs, it's not like these running backs have a ton of room to work with. And so I think it's not just a problem with the backs. It's not just a problem with the strategy. It's not just a problem with the offensive line. It's just in this run game operation, I think everyone really shares a piece, and the Chiefs have really said that themselves, and so it just needs to be better all around. And I think as one piece starts to play better, you'll start to see that trickle down effect in a way.
Those are the Arrowhead Pride mailbag questions. I guess I forgot to play that open.
We're really killing it on this
really
show
struggling tonight, man.
Halfway through the year, it's not time to mail it in. We have a lot of games left.
We just mailed it in with all the questions from the mailbag.
Did you know
that
the halfway point of the season is at halftime on Sunday?
Is it really?
Yeah, 17 games now.
Okay.
Halfway through the ninth game.
Did you know that race car spelled backwards is race car?
Hmm.
Now we both know something we didn't know before we came into this room.
Well,
You know what else I don't know about you right now is what's going forward with Pete Sweeney on Arrowhead Pride the rest of this week.
Yeah, I mean, same as usual. We'll keep you updated. We had a lot of interviews today, so we're turning around those articles in tonight and the overnight. So we'll keep you updated on what came out of the Chiefs locker room today. You know that one of our writers, great writers, Rocky Magana, is working on a piece about Doug Peterson and his thoughts about coming back to Arrowhead now that he's changed with two teams and won the Super Bowl and so on and so forth, and how Peterson factors into what the Chiefs might do this week. We'll keep you updated with the injury reports. We'll be monitoring Mecole Hardman the rest of the week. We know he's such a key player for these Chiefs, especially coming off of two of the best games of his career. So you wouldn't want to, if there was ever a time not to get hurt, it's right now. So we'll keep you updated on that. And yeah, keep carrying on at arrowheadpride.com. Get ready for Chiefs and Jags noon at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, Dustman.
I like that. Yeah, like the double name. Also,
on ESPN, they call it the G.
Do they really?
Susie Colbert said that, yeah.
At the G?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to go with that.
Cringe.
I'm gonna,
a little cringe, but you know what?
I feel like this is a PG-ish downloaded show, so I don't want to go too far.
Yeah, I mean, the FCC does not need to be in your mentions.
Robert Sala was already enough for me with the caramel skin and the
good. You started, yeah, I mean, the listener can't see this, but you started sweating when you started talking about Robert.
Very attractive. I give credit where credit's due.
You like Robert. That's all right.
Yeah, I'd play for him.
That's good.
Real quick, is Doug Peterson the best coach of the Andy Reid tree? Like, is he the best, like, coaching?
No.
Like, okay.
Probably John Harbaugh.
Both with rings. That's fair.
He just has not left his
stoop.
His stoop.
Harbaugh, then it's Peterson?
It's easy to lose a job in the NFL.
Well, yeah, just ask Dougie P.
You got to go to the Super Bowl rings first, right? So I guess it's those two.
And he won it with Nick Foles.
I've been really impressed with the program McDermott has built. I mean, he has turned Buffalo into a laugher, into an elite contender to rival the Chiefs. So I like McDermott, but you can't put him with those other guys until he wins a ring.
It just seems like the Andy Reid coaching tree is the most vibrant, flowing, successful off-branch tree of any other head coach that's been in the last few years. Like, the Belichick tree is very, very by itself.
Right.
It's like Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Right.
We'll get into that. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, chief editor of Arrowhead Pride. I am Dusty Likens. Thanks to Grant Nicholson doing all the great work tonight as the producer of this show. Thanks to Ron Kopp Jr., lead analyst. Pete, I don't know what you're doing the rest of the evening, but I hope you have a good time. Hope you take it easy. And you got a big birthday coming up, right?
Tomorrow.
Pete Sweeney turning 27 tomorrow.
That's right, again.
Doesn't look an age over 16.
That's good. His beard says otherwise.
Well, no shade November. Coming up next, it's After Hours with your host, Dusty Likens, myself. So from Arrowhead Pride Radio to After Hours here on 610 Sports Radio. Pete Sweeney, thank you very much. We'll do it again next week.
Send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
That is actually Pete Sweeney in his garage at 16 on the guitar. Your mic being on might help. Oh, no.
I don't know if anyone wanted to.
You played it cool, though.
I don't know if anyone wanted to hear that.
Well, it is the end of the show, which is where we give it to the people, right?
The witching hour.
Is it the witching hour? It is. The witching hour of Arrowhead Pride. So, Pete.
Yes.
Always at practice, always at the media days for everything Chiefs related. From Patrick Mahomes' zone on Twitter. How significant do you think Mecole Hardman's injury is?
It's a good question. I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good question, Fesco. I think that because it's been going on for these past couple of days, I think it's something that's worth monitoring. I think now that the Chiefs have 7 wide receivers on the active roster, if anyone is remotely injured, you can kind of be a little bit more cautious. And so, I don't know. I think if I had to guess right now, it kind of sounds like they may rest him this week, and we'll see what that means for everybody else. Now, I could be completely wrong about this, so keep up with our injury report updates at Arrowhead Pride, but I don't know. I just get the sense that something is a little fishy here with Andy Reid just coming out and saying he's not going to practice today. It's been ongoing for a couple of weeks. We're trying to figure out what it is. So we'll see. But right now, I would guess that he maybe has to sit for a game.
This is from Walmart Leo DiCaprio.
Ooh.
Take it for what it is. Why can't we get McKinnon out of those short yardage runs and just let Pacheco run them?
Right. I think that Isaiah Pacheco needs to, if you're going to lean into Pacheco, you got to give him a good amount of carries. And I just don't know how that could happen in a three-headed monster. I talked a little bit about this with C-Dot a little bit earlier, and I just think you need to pick one of these guys and McKinnon. I think there's enough carries and enough touches to go around, even in this offense, for two running backs. But when you're working in three, I don't know how any of these guys can get into a rhythm. I look at Pacheco's numbers, and if you really pull them up, you wonder out loud, like, what if we had him run the ball 15 times? Mm-hmm. What would that yardage look like? I tend to think it would be at least in the 70 to 100 range. Like, I think he would at least be in that 70-yard range, which is where you want to be for, I think, Patrick Mahomes and the passing offense to really get going. And so less about McKinnon or CEH or Pacheco, and I'm not even picking here. I think you got to either roll with Pacheco or roll with CEH as your early down back and then, you know, have McKinnon be your spell guy who can pass protect.
So Pacheco on 44 attempts has 197 yards, 4.5 average, one touchdown, and he's averaging 24.6 yards a game.
That's what I mean.
And he's the only player that's fumbled on the Chiefs roster. Two times, nobody else has fumbled.
Sure,
once.
And that's fine. I mean, he's a rookie. We right. saw Kareem Hunt fumble. And then
we never saw it again.
Exactly. So that's going to happen. I mean, I don't think you need to be worried about that, but I just, like I said, I mean, what if you give him 15 carries in one game? What does that stat line look like? I don't think we really know that yet. And when you make that move, you do wonder it. One other thing I said about this, and then we can move on to the next question is, I just don't think he should be the kick returner. If he's going to start as the running back and say he has a good kick return to start the game, then you're taking him out already. I think let him focus on being the team's number one back. Let him lock in. Let him get this patience right that, you know, the Chiefs have said a number of times. So, I don't know. I think I'd like to see Pacheco do it, but I'm more in the camp of pick one and let McKinnon be the second guy, and then the other guy's there for depth and injury.
Okay. This is from Tony Bolonovich. I feel like this guy is actually, you pronounce it Tony Bolonovich.
Oh, okay.
That's the name on Twitter. It says, has the play of the...
Is that Italian?
I could be. I'd just be like the weirdest looking Italian person ever. I have a red beard and like my skin's the color of like a Elmer's glue bottle.
You're not Italian?
No.
Okay.
Skults. So has the play of the interior line taken a step back this year, or does it just seem that way because the tackles have struggled so badly?
Yes.
From Bolonovich.
You know what? Yes. I think a little bit of both. We just heard Ron Kopp.
You okay there?
A little bit of both. We just heard Ron Kopp essentially say, you know, he's dived into the film and Trey Smith could have been better last game. Thought it was, you know, one of the weaker performances, which is unlike Trey Smith.
Yeah.
And I think the interior, which has been your strength, is being hampered by the fact that the tackles are just not as good as the interior. And, you know, the one thing that offensive linemen will always tell you is you're basically as good as your weakest link. So I don't think that is necessarily helping. But if you really watch from the end zone angle of these runs, it's not like these running backs have a ton of room to work with. And yeah. So I think it's not just a problem with the backs. It's not just a problem with the strategy. It's not just a problem with the offensive line. It's just in this run game operation, I think everyone really shares a piece, and the Chiefs have really said that themselves, and so it just needs to be better all around. And I think as one piece starts to play better, you'll start to see that trickle down effect in a way.
Those are the Arrowhead Pride mailbag questions. I guess I forgot to play that open.
We're really killing it on this
really
show
tonight. Struggling tonight, man.
Halfway through the year, it's not time to mail it in. We have a lot of games left.
We just mailed it in with all the questions from the mailbag.
Did you know
yes
that the halfway point of the season is at halftime on Sunday?
Is it really?
Yeah, 17 games now.
Okay.
Halfway through the ninth game.
Did you know that race car spelt backwards is race car? Now we both know something we didn't know before we came into this room.
Well,
you know what else I don't know about you right now is what's going forward with Pete Sweeney on Arrowhead Pride the rest of this week.
Yeah, I mean, same as usual. We'll keep you updated. We had a lot of interviews today, so we're turning around those articles in tonight and the overnight, so we'll keep you updated on what came out of the Chiefs locker room today. I know that one of our writers, great writers, Rocky Magana, is working on a piece about Doug Peterson and his thoughts about coming back to Arrowhead now that he's changed with two teams and won the Super Bowl and so on and so forth, and how Peterson factors into what the Chiefs might do this week. We'll keep you updated with the injury reports. We'll be monitoring McCole Hardman the rest of the week. We know he's such a key player for these Chiefs, especially coming off of two of the best games of his career. So you wouldn't want to, if there was ever a time not to get hurt, it's right now. So we'll keep you updated on that. And yeah, keep carrying on at arrowheadpride.com. Get ready for Chiefs and Jags noon at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, Dustin.
I like that. Yeah, like the double name. Also,
on ESPN, they call it the G.
Do they really?
Susie Colbert said that, yeah.
At the G?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to go with that.
Cringe.
I'm gonna
a little cringe, but you know what?
I feel like this is a PG-ish downloaded show, so I don't want to go too far.
Yeah, I mean, the FCC does not need to be in your mentions.
Robert Saleh was already enough for me with the caramel skin and the
good You started, news. Yeah, I mean, I you know, the listener can't see this, but you started sweating when you started talking about Robert.
Very attractive. I give credit where credit's due.
He is, you like Robert. That's all right.
Yeah, I'd play for him.
That's good.
Real quick, is Doug Peterson the best coach of the Andy Reid tree? Like, is he have the best, like, coaching?
No.
Like, okay.
Probably John Harbaugh.
Both with rings. That's fair.
He just has not left his
stoop.
His stoop.
Harbaugh, then it's Peterson?
It's easy to lose a job in the NFL. Well,
yeah, just ask Dougie P.
You got to go to the Super Bowl rings first, right? So I guess it's those two.
And he won it with Nick Foles.
I've been really impressed with the program McDermott has built. I mean, he has turned Buffalo into a laugh or into an elite contender to rival the Chiefs. So I like McDermott, but you can't put him with those other guys until he wins a ring.
It just seems like the Andy Reid coaching tree is the most vibrant, flowing, successful off-branch tree of any other head coach that's been in the last few years. Like, the Belichick tree is very, very by itself.
Right.
It's like Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Right.
We'll get into that. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, chief editor of Arrowhead Pride. I am Dusty Likens. Thanks to Grant Nicholson doing all the great work tonight as the producer of this show. Thanks to Ron Kopp Jr., lead analyst. Pete, I don't know what you're doing the rest of the evening, but I hope you have a good time. Hope you take it easy. And you got a big birthday coming up, right?
Tomorrow.
No, hey, Pete Sweeney. Turning 27 tomorrow.
That's right, again.
Doesn't look an age over 16.
That's good. His beard says otherwise.
Well, no shade November. Coming up next, it's After Hours with your host, Dusty Likens, myself. So from Arrowhead Pride Radio to After Hours here on 610 Sports Radio. Pete Sweeney, thank you very much. We'll do it again next week.